Got the kids in there.
Got the kids.
All right, I can stand up here with you. Not you, go ahead.
Will the kids please come forward for Sunday school? Let's pray for these kids. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and thank you for these children. We pray that their hearts and minds would be open to receive from you today, and that if those involved with ministering to them today, and that you would anoint them and give them the words to speak. And I just pray that these kids have a blessed day on this Resurrection Sunday. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Hallelujah. Don't you just love our choir?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you just love our young people?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
He's alive.
Yeah.
You know how I know he's alive? You know how I know he's alive? Because he changed me.
Yes.
That's how I know. Otherwise, I'd never know. But, you know, 21 years old driving.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
He showed up.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. He showed up. In my car, all by myself. Heavenly Father, you're here this morning because you are alive. And every person in here, Lord, you created for a purpose and a reason for all eternity. We don't understand it all right now, Lord. In here this morning, that the devil is dug a deep hole for them, but there's no hope because you are God. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to do a supernatural work on this beautiful day we celebrate the resurrection, and you're going to do work in people's hearts and lives. There are those today that are watching by social media and even in here today and saying, Lord, where are you? He's here. He said, I would never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you.
Yes.
Even when we don't, he's at work in our hearts. Because he's leading us down a path that he desires for us to go, to live for him, to glorify him in every person. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that your word might challenge us, convict us. Lord, that we continue to live for you. Should Jesus tear, you will grow deeper, Lord. And even in our jobs, our schools, or wherever, our homes, Father, we will begin to sense and see your mighty hand at work. In the world right now, you're showing us the good and you're separating the good and the evil right now. So it's obvious. So we know where to go to witness, to be a witness.
Yes.
Coming for a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we commit this time to you. And again, we give you all the... And everybody said...
Amen.
Before you sit down now, we're not going to wear this out. We're leaky vessels, right?
Yes.
Right. You just, again, look at somebody and say, hallelujah. You know what... You may be seated. You know what thrills me is that God has placed in our leadership of this nation all the way to the top. The one, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's talked about the resurrection. He's got a cabinet members that are... Many of them are born-again Christians today. And I've listened to Harrison Field, Deputy Press Secretary, a young man. And I tell you, his testimony was... was just inspiring how God had led him and got him to the White House. So women that are full of the Holy Ghost and they're not afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like me, God changed many of their hearts from where they were to where there's a reason that he's allowed his name to be put up at this level within this nation in this hour right now. Just think a year ago, they were talking about transgenderism and homosexual giving that day for them, which homosexuality is unnatural.
Yes.
And transgenderism doesn't even exist.
Yes.
But we're here this morning, and I'm proud to stand up and say I'm excited about Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to thank everybody in here, visitors. I see you. I hope you come back. Don't be strangers.
Yes.
You watching by social media, thank you for tuning in. And if we can ever help, give us an email or whatever. And just mention my sister Gloria here and her daughter Wendy, my niece, and my great nephew. Yeah, he's a great nephew. And he's Isaiah in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say I got a young great nephew here that is a law enforcement deputy sheriff. And we got Nan and Fred Westbrook, their son, and a highway patrolman.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You got what's your son? What's he? And what is he, an officer?
Police officer and a school resource officer.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So we want to honor our God for every one of them. And so us that have family members of that, we keep them in prayer daily, don't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need them in this hour that we live. And we're just praying that God will raise our ministers of the gospel, too. They're to go out and serve the public.
Yep.
That's their responsibility. And to keep the law, the peace in the land. And they're ministers of law enforcement because it's a hard job, whether you believe it or not. Is all they're ever confronted with many times is negative things. And that's why we need to pray for them to keep their... Thank you, my young great nephew. I don't know if you guys want to come up and... No. Like me, but I just don't let anybody know I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to talk about the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today we celebrate that resurrection Sunday, the day Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Not Easter. Not Easter, which has nothing to do the resurrection or anything holy. No matter how people try to spin it, Easter has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, Greg's here. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give you the word of God.
Amen.
That's what our young people, all the way up into college and beyond, our young people need to hear the word of God because this is the only thing that is going to change their hearts and lives and protect them from the evil. That is ashamed to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to just to be a Bible preaching preacher.
Yes.
Because when it's all said and done, the kids will eat those Easter eggs and they're gone. But I tell you, you get the word of God within them and the Holy Spirit will put it into their hearts.
Amen.
And their minds when they need it. They will begin to use it.
Amen.
He's alive.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm not going to wear it out. Don't worry. But he is alive. Easter's a pants or anything. Resurrection Sunday decrees and declares who Jesus is. The resurrection proved that Jesus Christ was divine. The fact that God manifests in the flesh, but the resurrection does.
Yes.
That proves he is. Jesus proved his divine nature by fulfilling the prediction. Just think, our Lord and Savior knew what he had to do when he came to earth.
Yes.
Leaving the grandeur of heaven.
Yes.
But his love for you, he wanted to reconcile his creation back to him. And he chose to die on a cruel cross. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not ashamed to say anything, because I'm not ashamed of it, because I've watched it change hearts and lives.
Yes.
The stone, by the way, it was not rolled away so Jesus could leave. So the people could look in and see that it was empty. Hallelujah. It says in John chapter 2, verse 19. Back then, they wanted a sign. But here in 2:19, it said, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews thought he was talking about mortar and brick, but Jesus was talking about himself. But there's a key thing in here I want you to up.
Yeah.
Jesus raised himself from the dead. He said, I will raise it up. That's the power. John 2:21, it says, Jesus confirmed it. He said, he spake of the temple of his body. That's what he was talking about. But he, discussing Good Friday and what is so good about Good Friday, he said, sure, Jesus died for our sins on Good Friday, but he was shamed, he was beaten. He had not been for the resurrection on early Sunday, the first day of the week, Friday would have been in vain. That's why Friday is so good, because of Sunday.
Yes.
Glory to God. Not there yet, huh? Hallelujah. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Who do we look at? I wish the church would get that in our spiritual ears and eyes and heads and realize that this is a living word where Jesus said, looking unto Jesus, and quit looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that's walking us through this journey of life.
Yes.
And we look at him. Confused, we're going to be made fun of, we're going to be mocked, but Jesus, we're to look at him. And if others do hurt or reject us, we still... But I like it as it goes on. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus knew that, and Scripture teaches us even in diverse temptations that we can have joy in the middle of heartache and pain and rejection and abuse or whatever's going on in our life. When Christ himself, because he conquered the world.
Yes.
He's an example. He knows what it feels like to be rejected.
Yes.
By the whole world. He knows what it is. As we're going through this life, we're heading toward eternity quickly.
Yeah.
That fast. Some are going earlier. But I tell you what, we need to be prepared in our hearts. I just read this morning a 14-year-old boy that was running a track race in school. He just dropped dead. 14 years old. I read of a 17-year-old girl that was... And what about the young man in the news who was stabbed by another young man this week? He didn't know he was going into eternity. But that's what Jesus is doing. He's walking us through. Be focused on him. That's what we need to be focused on. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right. And he's here through the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Whether you see him, feel him, or whatever your thoughts are running through your head that the devil will try to discourage, deceive you, without a doubt. Jesus made it all the way to the cross. And by the way, people, Satan tried to take Jesus out several times. Tried to take him out. He knew, but he didn't do it. Jesus was determined to get to that cross no matter what, and he did. And you want to know something, brothers and sisters? He cares more about you. He cares more about you in your progress in your spiritual life than anyone else in the world. And it's proved by what he did when he had gone to the cross about the benefits. And I'm not going to belabor it long. I know people have family and friends and everything, but we need the word of God, don't we?
Yes.
Hallelujah. First today. Hey, we got several here. Praise the Lord. We got to keep bringing Bibles to church. We got to hear this here. There's something about going in a Bible and looking them up. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to be parked through 13 starting out. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But he is risen. Now, that's a pretty good message. I mean, we've got other religions in the world. We've got, you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe Jesus was... we have Islam, we have Hinduism, all the other world. But the only faith... is Christianity, where we can claim that. But it's in vain if Christ did not rise. The resurrection confirms that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Romans chapter 1:4, concerning Jesus Christ. And he said, and declared power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. According to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, with power.
Yes.
He had dubious power, and that's what brought him out. When he was on the cross, they did not take his life. He gave it. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
That's why the demons tremble even at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus was fully man. In fact, he's perfect man. The only perfect man who ever was. men and women. God wanted you and I in that perfect state too, but sin came into the world and took that away. And that's why Jesus had to come to the cross to reckon with I also. And he was also fully God. Yes. Fully God. This fact was perfectly demonstrated by his bodily resurrection. The power to defeat. There's no person on this earth can raise anybody from the dead. Only in the name of Jesus Christ can that be done. No one else can. So-and-so from the dead. No, they didn't. Jesus Christ is the only one who defeated death, and he can raise people from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Dead for 3-4 days, whatever it is, and they say, hey, he stinks. But tomb. He walked out of the tomb. And if there's anything in your life, anything that you think there's no possible way God can answer it, that's a lie. Possible with God in your life that he cannot change within a moment. Within a moment is all he needs to say is come forth. And the resurrection. God, who imposed death as the penalty for sin, could defeat death itself. And I will be taking from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again today. Something had never happened. If it never had, just think what state of the world would be right now if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. Think where we would be in this world today. Rumors of war, earthquakes and floods and all kinds of horrible things happening in this imperfect world. And it will increase as we draw closer to the kingdom of God. Yes. If he had not resurrected from the dead. That's why I am just baffled how anyone, especially when I hear people say, I walked away from Christianity, Hindu. For what? Yeah. They're serving dead gods. Yeah. My God's alive.
Amen.
My God's alive. I've witnessed to Muslims when I used to travel, and one thing that I always could say above them is my God's alive. His name's Jesus Christ. Let me say right now that our preaching is not in vain. It's not in vain. If our preaching was in vain, we would not be able to reach people all over the world. What would be the purpose of it? But you know, in my life, since I became a Christian, I've watched multitudes, and I can literally say that multitudes. When I traveled overseas or in this nation, wherever, women right before my very eyes from whatever they were into something else, and he began to do a work in them. That only a living God can do that. Religion can't do. Jehovah's Witnesses, they got religion. I'm not here today to pick on them, but I tell you what, is all they got is religion because nothing really changes in their life. I know they did before they became a Jehovah's Witness. But I tell you what, if you truly are born again, your life changes. Because you serve a living God, and that will move and convict your heart and guide and lead you into the path of righteousness when you want him to. He doesn't force himself, by the way. If our preaching was watching him being delivered. I was listening over in Iran today right now that there's many Muslims coming to Jesus Christ. Dreams. And they're sitting on, I know, from death to life. Doesn't that get you excited?
Yeah.
God is on the move.
Yeah.
God is on the greatest miracle. Spirit when they accept Christ into their life. That's the greatest miracle there is. You can stand. I've watched it. It's happened to me.
Yes.
When it happened to me, He changed me.
Yes.
He changed my wife. I knew we were living a different life, totally. But as soon as we said to yes to changing,
yes.
God never quits because we haven't arrived. God's still chipping away. Perfect or will ever be perfect on this side of heaven. Only Jesus. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, 1 Corinthians, again, being vain, and your faith is also in vain. It's in vain. It means nothing. If our preaching was in vain, we would not do it. And we know it's not in vain. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is alive. Without the resurrection, Jesus would go without divine interpretation. Without the resurrection, none of Jesus' promises would be trustworthy. Not one of them in the scripture could we depend upon if he had not arose from the dead. Not one of them. But every promise, because he's alive, he arose from the dead. You can believe the word of God. Don't believe people. Believe the word of God, no matter what it says. If some of you pray for healer, he's still the resurrection and the life. Just because you got the problem, not the Lord. You don't need to lose your faith when you don't see down, discourage you and tear you apart. But when you do, when those things happen, when they don't seem to go the right way, you can still depend upon a never failing heavenly Father.
Amen.
Without the resurrection, there'd be no basis of hope for future glorification whatsoever. But we got a hope.
Yes.
No matter how bad this world gets, or if we die, we got a hope. We got, doesn't have that. And we need to tell them about it. Without the resurrection, there'd be no future judgment to right all the earthly wrongs. How many know there's a lot of earth and you don't understand why, God, are you not interceding on some of these things? But one day he will. And when he comes back, he will no longer be the Savior. And we need to be prepared. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Interesting. Interesting. Did you catch that? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not your faith. You live by the faith of God. The God and allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. You begin to live out what the Lord's putting in your heart and life to be what he wants you to be. It's his faith.
Yes.
But it says it right there. And it's a living word. And I believe it. This is not the faith which we exercise in Christ ourselves, but his faith is to do every day. When we're living our life in this world, when how we react to situations and things in our life, it's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. We're living in this world, too, when we're literally obeying the Word of God.
Yes.
If we're not reading the Word, we're not going to obey it because we don't know what it says.
Yeah.
But if you read it and say, Lord, I'm committed to this Word. And when you do, he will begin to move you and change you in front of people. And those people will see the difference between you on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Like the song says, because he lives, I face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We do not need to fear in this world whatsoever. Spirit of fear, God said he did not give us. That needs to be cast away from you. Don't let the enemy put fear in you. You live your life by faith according to the word of God, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Be sure my life is worth the living because he lives. Glory to God. We need to tell the world. We even need to tell some young people. We need to tell Christian people. We need to, Washington, over 10,000 people, young and old, killed themselves since they passed the law, being able to take their own life. 10,000. That's how the enemy works. But your life is valuable to God. No matter what's going on and it looks like you're up against life is over, it's never over when you go to Jesus. Never. Because of the resurrection, it's not in vain. Your praying is not in vain, even though some get to that point. They say, Lord, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing's happened. And the devil says it's in vain. He does. He said, I not only hear your prayers, I answer them.
Amen.
He may not answer at the moment. It may be the next day. It may be the next month.
Yes.
He will answer every single prayer. According, listen now, I didn't finish. According to his, we want what we want when we want it. But God does it according to his will. Cling to this, to the Lord, and not unto men. You know, when I became a Christian, I think the Lord taught me that early in my 20s and stuff. I got involved in bus ministry. And we did that for a few years in different ministries there. And, some people would start a ministry and then they'd quit. Boom. For whatever reason. But you know something? The reason I never quit is because I was doing it for him.
Amen.
I wasn't doing it for Jesus. And when you do things for Jesus, you get excited. And I tell you what, when you do it for Jesus, you see God moving in your life as well as the people you're ministering to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So however you support Crossfire Assembly, when you come on board and you say you want to do something and you want to volunteer for something, you do it for the Lord. Don't do it for me. Don't do it to try to impress anybody else in the church. You do people in this church that have done ministry since we started and been faithful to it right to the end. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for them. Because I knew they were doing it for Jesus. See, that's the benefit of the resurrection. It's not in vain. If it wasn't for the resurrection, if there was no resurrection, it'd be worthless. We wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be here. 1 Corinthians 15:15, it says, yes, and we are found false because we have testified of the God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that, then because me, Muslims go out and witness, Jehovah's Witnesses go out and witness, and the Mormons and all the other cults and the Hinduism, and they all go out and witness, but it's in vain. I've talked to them. Pointed out, that's not true what you're telling me. But see, what I tell them from the Word of God's true. Why? Because Jesus, if Christ had not been risen, then we would be false witnesses. Our testimony would be a lie. But because he is risen, the words that come out of our mouth about him are true.
Yes.
For it. You tell somebody Jesus Christ loves them. It's true. Amen?
Amen.
You tell somebody that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's true. And you quote Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I got the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Every born-again Christian does. That power is in us. But the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that's what it is. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God, commit your life to Christ and give your life totally over to him. He literally said he'll come in and sup within us and live within us and have our being. Our way maker and burden bearer, it's true. When we say he's a promise keeper, he is the light in the darkness, it's true. When you tell somebody, it's true. When he said, it is true. And when he says he's the helper in the middle of trouble, it's true. You can tell somebody that. And not in life, we show the world Jesus is not who he says he is. Ouch. I'm stepping on toe. And we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we're living worldly lives. We're telling the world he really isn't who he says he is. There. 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. How frightening that would be. Because he's risen, I'm no longer bound, but I'm free. I'm not bound by the things that used to bind me in the sinful world. Because when I gave my life to Christ, he set me free from needing broken off in my life. How many in here have had chains broken off in your life because of the power of God in your life?
Yes.
Hands going up all the through here.
Yes.
Because he's risen, I can say like Martin Luther King, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. Younger people probably, unless you watch the movie or something, but we heard him say it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if you're compromising, if you're watching by social media and you're compromising your walk with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are. Behold, all things are. We're not the same anymore. Didn't say we were going to. When I gave my life to Jesus, something changed in me. The guy that used to witness, he kept telling me about Jesus, and I wanted to destroy that dude. Job. He didn't even want to come in. And Jesus changed me.
Yeah.
I called that man up. I gave my life to Jesus.
Woo!
He said he threw his paperwork in there at work and said, praise the Lord. That man who I thought was my enemy became my brother in Christ. That's what God does because he's living. Every one of us has got stories. Me that I was praying that God save you even before my own family. Because I gave him such a hard, miserable time. That's why I know he's alive. is all I did is I turned my radio away from rock and roll and I turned it to a preacher that was preaching on Jesus dying on a cross. But the way before in our church. But it changed me for all eternity. Hallelujah. That's why I love him. That's why I'm not born again. A lot of times you lose your friends.
Yeah.
Some of your family. You have problems in the family because you change now too. Jesus. You're willing to give it up for Jesus. So I want to ask, are you a new creature in Christ? You watching by soul, and only you can answer it. Are you truly new from what you used to be? Or are you still the same and nothing's changed? You know, I know people that when I witnessed it, that's not in Scripture. There's nothing about praying a prayer in Scripture to get saved. They say, well, I prayed it. But they were still questioning their lifestyle. Because I gave you the Scripture, right? In Christ, he's a new creature. He isn't the same one anymore. He's brand new. Instead of wanting to talk about everything, when I got saved, is all we wanted to do is get in Bible studies and read the Word and find out more about Jesus. We'd open the Bible and we'd read something. Whoa, I didn't know. That's the Holy Spirit opening the Word to you because he changed you. So are you a new creature? That's the miracle of regeneration, being born in Christ. That's what happens. It's a true miracle, a special creation. It's not psychological redirection or anything of that sort. It's spiritual within the list can accomplish or explain such a miracle. Nobody can. Has your old life passed away? Has it passed in your faith? Christ loves you. He died. He resurrected from the dead in order to reconcile us. And when he changes us, he changes us.
Amen.
I'm not what I used to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
I used to be a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm doing the things of the world because I'm saved by grace. Now I should want, not that I won't sin, because I'm not perfect. But when I do, I can run to the Father and say, Abba, Father, and he'll help me. If I really repented. I was dead to God. Did you know that a person who has not committed their life to Jesus Christ, their spirit, it's dead to God, dead in their trespasses and sins, and walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power that is in Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Grace. Us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are all quickened. That means we're revived and made alive, raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
With him. See, these great truths are so certain to be accomplished that they are hath quickened, hath raised us up together. Because it will happen. Has happened. If they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, that means those who died have perished. But since Christ has been raised, 15 verses 52 through 53 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. The mortal must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. There is life after death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to happen. Is going to die.
Yes.
You need to be ready, don't you?
Amen.
We need to be ready. Our Lord and Savior, look what, but he resurrected from the dead to show us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are of all men most miserable, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. See, they're all just in Christ himself, not as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Not until he rose from the dead. The resurrection. Jesus appeared to over 500 people, by the way, after the resurrection. Witnesses. Witnessed him after he rose from the dead. This morning we have this benefit of the resurrection. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. If you run across anybody and they say, I'm hopeless, Tell them about Jesus. Tell them, don't lose your hope. Christ in you. Did you know Christians get down too? Did you know that they get depressed and discouraged? Frightened together, even more so as the world gets darker, to come together to do what? To encourage one another. And you can't do that if you're at home. You got to, or wherever, you need to fellowship with Christians. The benefit of the resurrection is the hope of glory, which is confidence, assurance, expected. They see Christ face to face, having been conformed to his image and likeness. That's what he's trying to do in you and I right now as born-again believers, to conform us to be ways to go. Amen? We all do. Nobody's better than anybody else. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, you better get to know Jesus now so you know who he is when he comes. Hallelujah. See him, you're going to look just like him. That means maybe, Lynn theory, that means maybe us older folk. I wonder if we'll be 33 years. How about those little aborted babies that are murdered by the millions? How about our little children that have died young, 3 years old? When we see him, we will be like him. In the heavens, going to be exciting. All because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be faithful to him.
Yes.
He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes.
Which includes our bodily resurrection. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. If you're born again, at the moment of death, you will be raised before Almighty God himself. And then one day you will be reunited. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that lives in us. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm born again.
Amen.
I don't know what I'd do if I went to young people down at a beach area the other day and they got a microphone. And they said, do you believe in Jesus? Most of them said, no. Do you believe he exists? No. People. That's their end. There's no hope. It's only live for now and die and you're just gone. No, you're not. They're either place, and it's our choice. God, a good God, a holy God, does not send people to hell. That's our choice.
Amen.
And died on the cross and rose again. Our spirits have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and our physical bodies ultimately will be resurrected by the Holy Spirit after death. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's here. He's here for all eternity. Only inheritance. 1 Peter, as I'm getting close to done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what coming. Homecoming time. Marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a homecoming, and that's the great hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You got relatives you haven't witnessed to? Go tell them about Jesus. So if they get mad, let them get mad. The Holy Spirit knows how to crack a hard heart.
Yes.
It may take hard hearts. I've had people take my Bible out of hand and throw it on the ground. I said, don't you ever do that again. I said, I'm going to. Because I know what I'm telling you is truth. There's power.
Yes.
There's power, wonder-working power. Begotten in this scripture here, 1 Peter 3:4, it says, have begotten us again. That word begotten means born again, by the way. So in conclusion, I'm always waiting for that song to bust out when I say in conclusion. Hallelujah. 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 The benefits of the resurrection prove Christ to forgive sins. By raising from the dead, Jesus, forgiveness and eternal life to all who accept his gift of salvation. You have to accept it.
Yes.
I had one guy tell me, he said, well, we're all going to hell. He died so that all men could come to him in repentance and give their lives to him. But you have to come to him and give your life when he calls you. Ministry, when he turned 33, he preached. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Securing our victory over death as well as cause us to have places with Christ. That's what the resurrection did. The resurrection also benefits us because it affirms that our labor in this life is not vain. First, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Defeated God's enemy, the Satan. From that time, Lucifer got lifted up in pride until the day of the cross. The devil fought to overthrow the kingdom of God at the crucifixion of Jesus. But early on Sunday morning, when the earth began to quake and the stone was rolled away, his power over sin and death was shattered, and Jesus rose with all the live and move and have our very being. It's because of him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power." Name, let's all stand, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's alive. Hallelujah. That's why when people, if I tell them about Jesus, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, well, that's your problem. I really do. You're lying. The devil's lying to you. You're lying to yourself. There is no such thing as an atheist. Many pastors will tell you, screaming out, "Help me, help me." We had a pastor that go to the hospital and the gospel. One man, he was given the gospel time and time again, over and over. And on his deathbed, the pastor walked up to him, our pastor, that Jesus Christ before you die. And he said, I can't do it. And as he was leaving his body, they're on fire. But he wouldn't give his life to Jesus. But why? Because his heart had become so hardened from hearing the gospel. What happens in churches like this? Well, there's many churches like this across this world. Small ones, remnant churches that preach the whole word of God. Get all the money in so the preacher can get a nice fancy pickup. Turn around and walk out that back door. I'll do it some other time. You might not have another time. Every time somebody turns away from the ear, beware lest your heart become hardened and you fall away from the living God. There's a danger. You're young people in here today. But if you aren't, get totally committed. You'll never experience the greatness of Jesus if you're not totally committed. When you're totally committed, you watch the Holy Spirit. You know, many churches, one church flew in 75,000 eggs, dropped them out of a helicopter. What are those kids thinking? I want to get one of those churches preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move. And they see mommy and daddy coming back together. They're seeing people healed. They're seeing people that have come in there. Kids will run down here and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Stay steadfast in your faith. This is the hard part, because everybody that Jesus called in Scripture, he called publicly. Though publicly, it brings accountability. And I would ask you, is there anyone this morning, just in case, I got to be sure, committed your life to Christ? You say, well, I believe in Jesus. So do the devils. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. In danger if you say that. Yeah. You hope? The Bible says you know that you are saved. You got to know it in your heart. Because Jesus. Is there anybody with every head bowed and eye closed again? I just want to say, is there anybody who say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. It's hard to worry about if you're here. Don't worry what anybody thinks. Nobody else will get you to heaven. Only Jesus will. He said, I am the way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. We need a Savior. Is there that person in here today? Say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? The Holy Spirit, I believe, is speaking to hearts. I can't force you. Nobody will. Is there anybody? Anybody? You know you need to be up here. Your heart's thumping. 2, 3. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. If there are those that are watching by television, Lord, in your word, that we come to you in faith. You told us that all have sinned and that we're all in need of a Savior. And Lord, that is still saying, I wish I'd gone forward. Jesus said, whosoever will come unto me, I will no wise cast out. But you need to come to him and repent, you next style, and say, Jesus, forgive me. I believe you came to earth and died and was buried, and I believe you rose again from the dead. And I want you to be my Lord and my your Holy Spirit. He is faithful. He will do that if you really mean it. So, Father, I'm praying that. And for every person here, I pray that as we each leave and go our own ways on this Resurrection Sunday, if there's loved ones, we're going to their home or even a restaurant or whatever, help us. This is Resurrection Sunday. I had a loved one in my family wish me a happy Easter this morning. I sent back a message to him of Jesus Christ, because I want him saved. Hallelujah. I pray, Father, give this kind. Help us to be concerned about the lost like you are, Jesus. That's why you came to earth.
Yes.
You care about the unsaved, the lost that will go into eternities. For now is the day. Tomorrow might be too late. Be like King Agrippa. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do in our hearts. I pray you touch every home, your goodness and your mercy and your kindness in their lives and their relationships within their very person. Help us to get the fire for Jesus. Be faithful to what he's called us to. Until you return, Lord, we want to say today that we glorify you and we're so excited, Lord, that you raised yourself from the dead and you're here this morning with us. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. That song you can lead us in.
Amen. Let's close with Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah.
Up here for a little while and I'll pray with you if you desire to. But everybody have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Meet again. Look at somebody on the way out and say, he's alive.